Welcome to the City Park Church Podcast. We are changing the culture of the city through the message of hope. Please share at cityparkchurch.com how God has touched your life through our messages. Thank you for listening.
Well, we had like elementary, middle school, and high school. I mean, you're like driving all three, picking kids up, driving them to sports and all kinds of things. So all we got to do is in a couple years get Stephanie her license and we are free. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. So thank you, Jesus. Anyway, I just want to encourage you to pray for all of our graduates and that they find their path in life, their God destiny in their life, make the right decisions concerning school and subjects they need to study and not follow their own will, but follow His will. Because really, that's where our success lies. It's in Him and in His word. So our subject that we're teaching on is called Same Struggle. Same Struggle. This is our third installment. So you can always go on our website, listen to all our sermons for free. Messages are right on there, right on the homepage. Or it can go on iTunes or all these other kinds of things, Stitches. I don't know. There's all these other things you can get them on your phone and take them with you wherever you go. So how many have ever made a resolution? We always make resolutions at the beginning of the year, but how many ever made a resolution, let's say, 3 months after January 1st? You made a resolution, you made a promise, you decided to do something, and the moment you make a resolution, you immediately struggle because you announce to yourself, your friends, and the world that this is what you're going to do, and you announce to the devil as well, and then the devil gets on your case. Well, resolutions without routines are like Ferraris without fuel. They may look impressive, but they won't get you anywhere. And so we want to talk about our main scripture that we're reading is in John chapter 15, if you want to turn there. John chapter 15, where Jesus said, "I am the true vine, and my Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit, while every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes so that it will be even more fruitful. You are already clean because of the word I have spoken to you. Remain in me, and I also I remain in you, as I also remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me." Everybody say remain. The main point that I want to bring out this morning is this: you can't grow spiritually unless you remain. You can't grow in anything really unless you're stable, unless you stick it out, unless you stay in the job for a while. You can't grow in your job. You can't be promoted in your job unless you're sticking things out. So the point this morning is the word remain, remain. A tree can't produce unless it's planted and unless it remains there. We have a garden in our backyard. My wife's a gardener, and those tomato plants are growing amazingly, you know. Had a good foundation, good soil, good tilling. That was my job, right? Good planting. And those plants are remaining in that soil. She waters them every day, and they are exploding. We already have tomatoes on there like that size. I'm like, wow, that's pretty early. So I don't know about you, but I love tomatoes. I love the season of harvest, and I love to eat the fruit of my labor. And so those new tomato plants, one of my jobs is after she plants them is to put the cages around them. Anybody plant tomatoes? You don't put cages around them, they'll grow so big, they start to what? Start to fall over because they get so heavy with the fruit on them. And then as I put those cages on there, I put those stakes in the ground to hold those cages in place. Well, the way that you are supposed to plant tomato plants, we found out from the experts at the farmer's market, is you dig a long hole and you bury the stem of the plant and then you curve it up, and that way all that part, the roots go down deep, roots form from that, and it becomes a strong plant. So I'm not thinking about this. I'm just putting cages in and driving stakes in, not knowing that I had taken one of those stakes and just cut right through that buried stem. I didn't know it until a few hours later, somebody came out and said, my plant is dead. I mean, it was that quick. That quick, the plant was like wilting. And she says, you must have put a stake right through the stem that I buried. I'm like, yeah, I probably did. So it was like dying. It was cut off from nutrients. Even though it looked like it was remaining there, it was not prospering. It was not green anymore. The nutrients weren't getting to where they needed to be. And we kept it in the ground, actually, hoping that somehow I didn't completely ruin it. And we found out later that I did not ruin it. It's still, she took the stake out, and I might have damaged the stem a little bit, but that it's coming back. But if you look at that plant compared to the others are four times larger than that one. Because of the lack of nutrients, because of being cut off, because of not remaining in the soil, that plant probably is not going to produce as much fruit as the others. It looks a little bit sick, if you know what I mean. And it's the same way with Christians. Christians that aren't planted in the house of the Lord, they look a little sick. They're undernourished. They're not getting constant input into their lives. So remaining, sticking things out is so important. And we live in this upwardly mobile society. And everything's always new and fresh, and we're always looking for the new and fresh. And a lot of Christians are the same way. They're looking for the new thing and the new church and the new move of God, and all that's great. We love the move of God, and we love to see God do great things. But really, where discipleship happens and where growth happens is where we find the house where God wants us to be, and we remain. We get planted in that house, and we flourish in that home. That's where stability comes from. That's where character is developed. You find those that go from church to church, they avoid the development of character. They don't want to deal with their character. They don't want anybody to tell them about the things in their life that they need to fix or change. So they hop from here to there. And whenever they get close to anybody, it's like, whoop, I'm out of here. I don't want you to know about my junk or my stuff. And really, that's what we're here for. We're here to help. We're here to help you to grow. We're here to help you process. We're here to help you remain. See, the faith to step out is worthless without the faith to stick it out. Got to stick it out. And obviously, Jesus here is describing an agricultural procedure and a spiritual process. He compares this agricultural procedure to a spiritual process. To produce things, they need to be pruned. They need to be weeded. Got some weeds in our garden need to be taken out. They need to be watered. They need to be fertilized. You just can't plant the same plants in the same ground every year. You got to add soil. You got to add fertilizer. Whether you like the stench or not, you got to add it in there, right? I always joke to my wife, if you go to Germany, you can smell, you know, manure everywhere. I mean, Germany stinks. At certain times, yeah. And you know, I know that the fields are rich, you know. And if you go, especially to the small towns, you can smell it. I always joke about it. I said, the smell of Germany. That's the smell. And she's like, be quiet. But it's the same way here. You go out in the fields, you can smell that fertilizer that's fertilizing the ground. Because without it, we wouldn't have the food that we eat. And we wouldn't be blessed to have the nurseries that we have here in this area. But it says here in verse 2, he cuts off every branch. Now that sounds kind of harsh, don't you think? You know, the loving and caring and wonderful God. He cuts off every branch. Wow, that's amazing. There is a pattern to growth in the kingdom of God. Life seems to be random at times, but not really. If you think about patterns. Paul is trying to get the believers in Romans chapter 12 to think about patterns, and he's talking about life transformation. So turn to Romans chapter 12 and verse 2. As he's writing about this, he says this, do not conform to the pattern of this world. Everyone say pattern. But be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good and pleasing and perfect will. Now, the world is not the problem. It's the pattern of the world, or the patterns in the world. You can spend your whole life chasing the world's patterns, whether that be sex, highs, lows, money, fame. As parents, as an older generation, we have grown up recognizing, or maybe even personally experiencing, like probably us all, certain patterns that went on in our lives that were destructive. And our parents would tell us, can't do that, can't go there, you know, can't hang out with those friends. And the younger people are like, well, why not? How come I can? And we sense something not right. You know, maybe with that group of friends or with that activity that you're involved in, just something not right. It's setting you up to follow a pattern in your life that could be destructive. And that's one of the great things about the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit can warn you, even though somehow to the world or to unbelievers, it doesn't make sense. But inside you get this sense and you get this warning that you need to get your kid out of that. Or you need to keep your kids away from that home, away from those kids. You guys out there? Any parents out there? So that they don't form a negative pattern that could end up in failure or destruction of their lives. It's our job. It's our job to help them to avoid the school of experience and to take more classes in the school of wisdom. You guys out there? Because the school of experience is a very difficult school to attend, and it has a high tuition. A real high. So we're trying to get them to understand wisdom. And to get wisdom, Proverbs says, get wisdom, even though it costs you all that you have, get understanding. Because eventually that wisdom will pay. Eventually that degree, that schooling is going to pay. You may be living on rice and beans right now while you're going to college, but eventually that degree is going to pay something. That wisdom, that education, it's the same way spiritually. That spiritual education, that discipleship will eventually produce something in your life. Will help you to get planted, help you to understand process, and help you to understand patterns and get free from negative patterns. I believe that the majority of our problems in life are the result of patterns. The patterns of this world. The world is full of patterns. Now, my mom, she sewed. Anybody here sew? Dresses, things like that. And I was always in awe that my mom could sew these things because she'd go to the store and buy the simplicity pattern. Anybody know what I'm talking about? Simplicity pattern. I remember the package. I can see it sitting on the table. And she would take that thing apart and she'd lay it out on the table and she'd be cutting with her scissors. Those are the scissors that she could only use, right? Those were her scissors. Don't you touch her scissors, right? And she would cut that pattern out and she would spend time and she'd sew that dress together and you look at it and it would fit my sister. I'd be like, how did you do that? You know, and she followed the pattern. She followed the instructions, and from that, she made something that cost her barely nothing, and the same dress in the store cost $100. My mom was like that. She was a great pattern lady. She was great at organizing things. That's why she was an accountant, because she had that kind of brain. But I was in awe that she could take that pattern. We have patterns here in music. There's chord progression patterns. You think how do you play the keyboard and all those songs and do all those kind of things, and there's a pattern to it. And once you learn the pattern and get good at the pattern, it actually becomes really simple. When I first started playing the keyboard and the pattern was given to me, you look at it and you think, I could never do that. But then all of a sudden, little by little, as you stick to it, as you have a goal that someday I'm going to play that keyboard, someday I'm going to sit there, I want to play in church, I want to play worship songs. My first goal was to play in kids' church when I was a kids' pastor. We didn't have a keyboard player, and by golly, I'm going to learn how to play this keyboard because we need some music in here. We need some worship in here. So I took lessons, and there was this African-American guy who played the piano in our Bible school, and he was like amazing. So I went up to him. I says, do you give lessons? He's like, yeah. I says, well, all I want to learn is chords. I want to learn how to read music. Can you just teach me chords? And he's like, sure. So I literally only took 4 months of lessons. And that, within that 4 months time, I learned the pattern. You begin to see that pattern. And then you begin to realize that every song has the same pattern. Every song has the same structure, the verse, the choruses, the bridge. Every song has the same structure. And so there's patterns in music. 2 Timothy, Paul is talking to Pastor Timothy. Pastor Timothy was a young pastor. He has a large church, tens of thousands of people, and he has some identity issues. He has some confidence issues, and Paul is trying to minister to him as he writes the letters of 1 and 2 Timothy, sending them to encourage Timothy. He said in 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 13, he says, what you have heard from me, keep as the pattern of sound teaching with faith and love in Christ Jesus. Paul was trying to let Timothy know there is a pattern as a pastor. There's a pattern of discipleship that you need to bring your people through in order to help them to grow, to get to the place where they're free, to get to the place where they're free from their woes, free from their addictions, free from their sin, free from the things that they struggle with in life, so that they can become productive in the faith. They can be effective in their witness. And Paul was trying to teach Timothy that. Paul's telling Timothy about the pattern. Come on, somebody say pattern this morning. Hallelujah. Every new believer that comes to Christ, there is a pattern of discipleship to sound teaching. See, too many Christians don't want sound teaching. They just want the flashy. They don't want to get planted. They don't want the line upon line, the precept upon precept, the here a little, the there a little. They don't want that. They want their ears tickled. They want the new, fresh thing. They don't want to hear about, you know, getting free from this or changing this or growing in this. Romans chapter 5 and verse 14. Turn there. NIV is the main Bible that we use. It says, nevertheless, Romans 5, 14, death reigned from the time of Adam to the time of Moses, even over those who did not sin by breaking a command, as did Adam, who is a pattern of the one to come. Come on, everybody say pattern. So a pattern was set up. And we see here that even in the New Testament, they refer to Adam and Eve, you know, giving validity to the book of Genesis and its historical accuracy. And so Adam, being the first man, he set up a bad pattern for us. You guys out there? Because of him and because of Eve, a pattern was set up in this world. A child, when he's born, is born already with a sinful heart and a rebellious heart. That's why we need to be born again. We're not born good. If you're a parent, you absolutely know that. Your child is not Jesus, all right? That's why the rod of correction drives it far from them, the Bible says. That you realize that rebellion starts to pop up. That disrespect starts to pop up. And if you don't correct that, and if you don't stay on top of that, and if you give up on correcting that and staying on top of that, you're going to have a horrible teenage life with your kids in your household. Amen? Not to say it's going to be perfect either, but because you have to continually fight the battle. And you're continually fighting the pattern that Adam and Eve set forth when he disobeyed God in the garden. That pattern of sin, that pattern of rebellion. That's why the world is in such a mess. The world will tell you, their theology is everyone is born good, and we're all children of God. No, that's not the truth. Therefore, if we're all born good and we're all children of God, we can do what we want to do. We can sleep with who we want to sleep with. We can steal when we want to steal. We can lie when we want to lie. And let's not confront anybody on anything, especially in our culture these days. Let's not offend anybody. Come on, somebody preach good out there. That's why the world is in such a mess, because nobody's confronting anybody anymore. Everything's acceptable. And it's getting worse. And it's biblical. It's happening, folks, in our eyes. The change in culture that has happened just within the past few years is just mind-boggling of what we allow in our culture and in our country. Mind-boggling. So there's this pattern. We have patterns in families, you'll notice, that we struggle against. The problem is we're fighting the same pattern of our parents and our grandparents and our great-grandparents. Certain things can be passed down as habits, certain ways that we do things for a living, certain ways that we eat. You'll notice Thanksgiving is a table set that represents your mama, right? And if you go to another home for Thanksgiving, you're going to be appreciative, but you're going to walk out the door and say, I missed those yams with the marshmallows on top because that's the way mama used to do it. Come on. Are you out there? So what do? I'm going to go cook those next weekend because that was the pattern that was set up. I'm going to go make those because I'm missing those. Are you guys out there? So we fight these patterns from our past. We create things that are certain habits of living, certain habits of eating, habits of loving, habits of relationships from our past. And the problem of sin started with Adam. It goes back to him. We call that the fall of man. But there's good news this morning. Jesus came to break the pattern. Are you out there? He came to break the pattern. He came to give you the power to break the pattern. Hebrews chapter 5 or 8. Hebrews chapter 8 and verse 5 says this. They serve at a sanctuary that is a copy and a shadow of what is in heaven. It's a pattern. That they're talking about the earthly sanctuary that the Israelis built. Israelites. It says, this is why Moses was warned when he was about to build the tabernacle. He said this, see to it that you make everything according to the pattern shown you on the mountain. Everything has a pattern. Now y'all thinking about the patterns of your life now. You all have a morning pattern. Everybody notice that? The older you get, you do the same things. You eat the same things. You get up. Make coffee. I know some people, I can't function without coffee. Can't even open your Bible without coffee, you know. You eat the same cereal. You ever notice that? Maybe you'll have one or two. You'll go back and forth because you get a little bored. But mine is Great Grains with raisins and dates. Anybody out there? I love it. All right? You have the same pattern. And, I sometimes I'll have an egg. Maybe on the weekends when I have time, sometimes I'll have some toast, but it's mainly cereal and milk. Got that pattern going on. You know, I get up after that, after you get something to eat, in between that, I'll read my Bible. John chapter 15, right? Anybody read John chapter 15 this week? If you're new here, we're reading John chapter 15 every day this past week. We're going to continue to do it. Just keep reading it, all right? I go to my computer, and then I got to answer tons of emails. I got business emails, you got church emails, you got, you know, request emails for business, all kinds of stuff. I want to get that all out of the way. And then for me, it's off to the gym. That's my pattern. If there's too many emails, if there's too much business, I don't like it when I don't get to go to the gym. I feel like my day is not complete because I didn't follow through with the pattern. Are you guys there? Sometimes it's hard to break that pattern. Take food, for example. Come on, I'm gonna hit it right home, right here now. All right. You know that you've been gaining a little bit around the middle, and you're thinking to yourself, well, what am I gonna do? But we don't see the patterns of our habits to break the patterns in order to lose the weight that we want. We've got to break that pattern. How much Great Grains are you actually pouring in that bowl? Because it says on the box that it's only 200 calories, but then you're going to read half a cup. Okay? So you actually take the bowl and you stick it in the measuring cup, and it comes out to be 4 cups, right? And you're thinking, that's 800 calories. No wonder why I'm fat, right? No wonder I'm not losing weight here. We trick ourselves sometimes, you know, into thinking, well, this is good for me, but because of the pattern, we don't want to admit that this is what we need to change. So we've got to see to it that we build our life according to the pattern. Now, anybody here ever build a house before? Anybody? Or been involved in building a house? There's a pattern. I remember the first house that I built, and I personally oversaw and built 5 homes, right? So the first time I built my first house, I knew nothing about it. I didn't know what the pattern was. And I hired a general contractor to come, but I was there on site helping through the whole time, through the whole thing. And I realized there's a pattern to this, okay? It's like the plans, the blueprints, the architect. Then you got to go to the county or the city. You got to get your permits, right? After you get your permits, you do excavation. Excavation goes to foundation. Foundation goes to framing. Framing goes to the siding, windows, doors, and roof. After that, you got the inside. You got rough and plumbing. You got electrical. You got HVAC. You got insulation. You got sheetrock. You got flooring. You got cabinets. You got toilets. And pretty much your house is done. That's the pattern. But I didn't know what the pattern was. I could have never told you that, you know, 10 years ago. And what I realized was these general contractors make a lot of money. Why? Because they know the pattern. And they don't want you to know the pattern. They don't want you to know the process. And I thought, why would I ever pay a general contractor again? We needed one in this building, technically, for the loan. Why would I ever pay a general contractor again? Because I know what to do. I know the pattern. I know what has to come after, because it all has to fall in line for inspections and everything in order to get the job done. And you've built a house for $100 a square foot instead of paying these days in Gresham or Portland $250 a square foot. Crazy, crazy. We actually convince ourselves of negative patterns by saying things like this: well, I'm not a morning person. Oh, really? Okay, so why you say that? You've actually talked yourself into not being a morning person, because really, if you went back to find out where that came from, you just don't like getting up early and facing life and responsibilities. And so, well, I'm not a morning person. Do you know you can change that habit? You can change that pattern. First of all, stop saying I'm not a morning person and start saying I am a morning person, filled with energy, filled with life. When I get up, I bounce out of bed and I dance across the floor. I'm a morning person. Seriously. I'm a morning person. Start saying it. You got to first start convincing yourself. The Bible says to call things aren't as though they are. So start saying what isn't so that it becomes what it should be. Are you out there? That's what faith is all about. If you don't like the product, you know, a lot of times Christians, and I believe in prayer, but they think that faith alone is going to solve their problem. And they think that a prayer from the pastor or the evangelist is going to solve their problem. And we believe in prayer and we believe the prayer works. But if you leave here and don't renew your mind and renew the pattern, it will not change. It will never change. Are you out there? Come on, you gotta. That's why Paul said, be renewed in the spirit of your mind. Be renewed for the pattern. Follow a different pattern. We've fallen into patterns a lot of the times, whether we want to admit it or not. Some good and some not. If you don't like the product you have, change the pattern. Whether that be relationships, whether that be the way your body looks, whether that be the way your body feels, running around from this thing to that. I mean, you can hate the product all that you want. The problem is not the product, it's the pattern. It's the pattern. We want to blame God for this. We want to blame people for that. All these problems. The problem is not what they did to you. The problem is not the product, but the pattern. Everyone perceives problems, but the ability to perceive the pattern beneath the problem is the key to freedom. we make things a permanent solution. Say, for example, I'm not a morning person. Well, look at the pattern. What is your nighttime pattern? Well, I stay up late and I watch another episode. I'm addicted to Netflix. I don't just watch an episode, I watch the whole series. It's a problem in our culture. Is it hot in here? Can you guys? No, I'm just sweating. All right. How about this? I get stressed out every time and I never pray about anything. I lose my cool with the kids at about 9:30 p.m. because they're still hyped up and you're winding down. I drink too much water, so I have to get up and pee all the time. I don't know about you, that's me. I avoid the water because it gets me up. Or I drink caffeine past 8 p.m. at night and it's all up in my system. And then you want to say, well, I'm not a morning person. Well, do you think perhaps that if you changed your nighttime pattern, you could actually become a morning person? I look at guys like Don back there. He gets up every morning to work at what? 3, 4 o'clock back. And he, since I've known him, he hasn't had this job his whole life. He didn't have that job. He just got the job a few years after we moved here. He didn't have a nighttime job where he had to get up at 3 or 4 o'clock, but now he does. What did he do? He had to change his pattern. If he was going to be successful, if he was going to be celebrated as the top guy in his company. Thank you. Hello. I think it needs to be turned up a little bit. Battery's wearing up. Don had to learn how to change his pattern. So if you know anything about Don and his success in his company is, what did he do? Every night, he's like, if we have a meeting, he says, well, I can stay till up till 8:30, but I need to get home. I need to what? I need to get to bed. I can't do what I used to do and stay up till 11 or 12 o'clock and watch Netflix. Watch the news, which was my habit, you know, the 11 o'clock news. I got to change my pattern if I'm going to be successful in this new job. Patterns. How about this? I'm a bad student. Well, do you have horrible patterns? Most students do that aren't getting good grades, called procrastination, right? And we make these big sweeping statements that limit our lives. And what we do is we place ourselves in a box. Come on, is anybody getting something this morning? What you have to realize is you are not your patterns, and you don't have the right to use your pattern as an excuse to stay the way you are. Man, you can write that down on Facebook, somebody. Somebody write that down. That was a good one. You can't use your pattern as an excuse to stay the way you are. Well, I was born that way. I could go off on that one. I was born that way. Really? Okay. Well, if you change the pattern, God can change the product. You're not stuck. We're not stuck. Come on, you guys, we're not stuck. You can change your life. And God has come in you. He has made you a new creature in Christ. And he has given you the power as a new person to change the pattern, to change your life, renew your mind and change the pattern. So what? You can prove on this earth as you live here that God's will is perfect, that God's will is good, that God's will is excellent. Hallelujah. You say this, well, I'm disorganized. Well, really? Well, change the pattern. You know, I always tell people, find someone who's organized, pay them $50 to come over and help you. That's what the whole show Hoarders is built off of, right? You know, all these people, I'm a hoarder. Well, you can get unhoarded, you know? You can get your house clean. And we like watching those shows because we love watching people's dysfunction. But then if you look around at the stuff you're in your house and you walk out in your garage, you may need to sign up for that show, right? Change the pattern. You can change the pattern. Nothing is impossible with God. Nothing is impossible with God. You can change your life. It doesn't matter how old you are. It doesn't matter how long you've been a Christian. It doesn't matter where you've been. Nothing is impossible with God. How about this? I have no energy. I just don't have any energy. First of all, stop saying you don't have energy and start saying, I'm full of life. I'm full of energy. The Bible says, let the weak say, I'm strong. So stop saying I'm weak and start saying I'm strong. Come on, somebody say I'm strong. Come on, I'm preaching real good this morning. Somebody say, I'm strong. I'm strong. You know, we are defeated by what we say. The power of death and life is in the tongue. We get what we say. And because of what we say, we create patterns in our life. We actually mold to what we say because our words are creating the world that we live in and the atmosphere that we live in and the culture that's in our homes by what we say. If you want to change your life, change what you're saying. Therefore, and then it will give you the power to change your pattern. Well, I don't like to exercise. Well, why not? I've known tons of people that didn't like to exercise, never stepped foot in a gym. And the hardest part is to step through the doors the first time, like a church, right? You don't know the people. You don't know the machines. But the more that you get familiar with that culture and that environment, it's easy. You actually want to do it after a while. You actually don't want to miss it because it becomes part of your life. And it's the same. It should be the same way with church. You can't wait to get spiritually fed. You can't wait to see the roots of your spiritual life go deeper so that you become stronger, so that when the storms of life come and the winds blow, you don't blow over, you're not defeated, you're able to stand. Your family is able to stand because you've created patterns. There's patterns of defeat and discouragement. See, I think too many times we give the devil too much credit. Obviously, the devil knows our patterns, he observes our patterns, and he will make you feel guilty about your patterns and be on your case. But you need to know that you can overcome discouragement. You know, a good way to overcome discouragement is start to be an encourager, and then you will overcome discouragement. Start to be an encourager. Text somebody and tell them how good they looked after Sunday. Man, you're looking good in church. Be an encourager. You know, positive words will change your life because what you sow is what you reap. What you give out is what comes back to you. That law of sowing and reaping. Because most of the time, I think a lot of times, the pattern that we're stuck in, we've been meditating on it for years. Patterns of self-pity, for example. We many people embrace the feeling of being excluded. And what is that pattern producing in your life? Maybe that feeling of being excluded was birthed when you were a teenager, when you weren't chosen for the team, or you weren't chosen to be a cheerleader, or you weren't accepted in the group that you really wanted to hang out with. And that pattern began in your life. And today, we want to call it some kind of social thing that we need counseling and stuff like that. And counseling is good, and we need to go get counseling when needed. But because that pattern has been fostered our whole life, we are stuck in our little boxes here in America, excluded from society and social activity. And that pattern continues on in our life. It can be broken. My dad's pattern was this. Now, there's good patterns, too. One of the greatest things I give to my dad is this. My dad's pattern was he never missed a day of work. Never missed a day of work. Even when my dad had leukemia for 6 years, it was only the last few months that he missed. He went every single day. What does that say to me? That providing for my family and being consistent on my job is important. Now, my dad took his fishing pole every single day, and at lunchtime he went to the river and he fished every single day. He had a pattern. He loved fishing. It was his outlet. But I give that to my dad. That pattern that he set up, that breaking the poverty mentality has to do with being consistent and not lazy. The patterns of negativity are rampant in our culture. Patterns of distraction are rampant in our culture. These patterns can be broken because the greater one lives in you. Greater is he that lives in you than he that lives in the world. Greater is he that lives in you than any negative pattern that you're bound to, whether that be alcoholism, whether that be negativity, whether that be sexual addiction, whatever it is, the greater one, when you get born again, when you ask Christ to come in your life, the greater one comes to live in you. The pattern can be broken. Amen? Maybe that includes going to a class. Maybe that includes going to AA. Maybe that includes going to a self-help group to help you teach you and to find somebody to hold you accountable so that you can get free from that pattern. And if you can't get free by yourself and you've tried secretly to get free of a negative pattern or some kind of sin, then why do we keep doing the same thing over and over again? You got to get help. In order to be free, find someone to mentor you. Find a group to be involved in to hold you accountable. When you get to the point where you're so sick of the pattern that you've allowed to happen in your life, you've got to do something radical in order to break the chain over your life. Last scripture at 1 John chapter 2 and verse 16. Now we know that Jesus had three tests from the enemy. He was out fasting for 40 days, and he had three tests from the devil. Anybody remember the movie The Imitation Game? Anybody see the movie The Imitation Game? The Imitation Game was about a bunch of guys, one in particular, who invented a machine to break the German code, the secret code of the Germans, from a machine that they had produced. These guys, they invented a machine and they broke the code. Anybody see that movie? It's a really good movie. And I don't usually recommend movies, but it's a good movie because I'm looking at it from a spiritual aspect. And the code was broken. And there was, every morning what they realized as the messages came in and they couldn't decode them, that there were three things that came in every morning, and they wondered why it was three things. Three of the same patterns were happening, and what they were trying to do was figure out the patterns of the Germans in order to break the code, in order to win the war. And so they eventually developed this machine, engineered this machine, this communication device. And you'll see at the end of the movie that they eventually broke the code. And because of their efforts, the war, they saved 14 million lives and shortened the war by 2 years. It's amazing. So they set up this pattern. They follow through with this pattern. See, the devil will encode the attacks that you don't see coming. A lot of times the patterns in our lives that we're experiencing, we don't see the patterns. But when you become a born-again Christian, guess what happens? The eyes of your understanding become opened to the pattern. Why do I do what I do? Why am I saying what I'm saying? They become open to the pattern, and you're like, ah! You become enlightened to the fact that if I don't change this pattern, if I don't renew my mind and get some new habits going on, I will never be free from this thing that has bound me. Hallelujah. Now, we come to 1 John chapter 2. Jesus, it's interesting that Jesus had three tests. He had three tests. And then we see, don't be conformed to the pattern of this world. Okay, here we go. It says in 1 John 2:16, for everything in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life comes not from the Father, but from the world. Love not the world or the things in the world. For everything in this world can be broken down into three categories: the lust of the flesh, every temptation, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. Everyone say after me, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life. The lust of the flesh is basically what you feel like doing, just do. No restrictions. That's why the world is in such a mess. They live out of their emotions, and they follow whatever I feel like doing. Well, how's that working for you? Doesn't work. It'll get you in serious trouble. The lust of the eyes is the temptation towards what you see, which we're being bombarded against continually from our electronic devices, TVs, and computers. The devil has got that captured. And then the pride of life, what you want to do apart from God. Three temptations. Matthew chapter 4, we see the devil tempting Jesus. The tempter came to him and said this in Matthew chapter 4 and verse 3 and said, if you are the Son of God, tell these stones to become bread. Jesus answered, it is written, man shall not live on bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God, the lust of the flesh. Lust of the flesh. Pattern. What do you feel like doing? The lust of the eyes. It says, then the devil took him to the holy city and had him stand on the highest point of the temple. Said, if you are the Son of God, he said, throw yourself down, for it is written, he will command his angels. How many know the devil can quote scripture? He will command his angels concerning you, and they will lift you up in their hands so that you will not strike your foot against the stone. Jesus answered him, it is written. He used the word to combat the devil. Do not put the Lord your God to the test, the lust of the eyes. Look at these kingdoms. They can all be yours. And then in verse 8, it says, again, the devil took him to a very high mountain, temptation number 3, and showed him the kingdoms of the world and their splendor. He said, all this I will give you if you will bow down and worship me. Do this apart from God, the pride of life. Three temptations. This pattern of temptation. A lot of times temptations will come at you in threes. One after the other. Bang, bang, bang. The devil's trying to get you to let down your guard. Three temptations. And if you look at all the temptations that have happened in your life, if you look at all the patterns, the negative patterns that you've allowed to be established in your life, and allow those patterns to ongoing, it falls into one of these three categories. But this isn't anything new. Genesis chapter 3. Genesis chapter 3. In Genesis chapter 3, it says this, the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree to be desired to make one wise. She took of the fruit thereof and did not eat. The woman saw that the tree was good for food, the lust of the flesh, and that it was pleasant to the eyes. The lust of what? The eyes. And a tree to be desired to make one wise, the pride of life. The point this morning is this. There's nothing new under the sun. Nothing new under the sun. The devil has nothing new to tempt you with. He's been using the same things over and over again. Yet, we continually fall not understanding how to get free. How do we get free? We got to change the pattern. You might have to change the people you hang out with. You might have to change the places you go to. Come on. You might have to change something. Well, I don't want to change. I'm just going to keep doing the same old. Well, if you're fine with that, that's fine. If you like your pattern, you can keep your pattern. Anybody out there this morning? Hallelujah. If you want to change, if you're seriously serious about changing your finances, you got to change the pattern. Come on, you probably need to suck it up and probably get an education. You know what I mean? Go back to school, get some training. You got to change the pattern. You're only going to make so much in that job. Anybody out there? You're only going to be promoted so much. Well, I don't have the money that I need to do what I need to do. Well, Maybe you should start tithing. Come on, anybody out there? Maybe you should try that pattern. Because you know what? That supernatural pattern will break the pattern of poverty in your life. That generosity will break that pattern. Well, I don't know if I can afford to tithe. Well, you can't afford not to tithe. If you need what you need, if you want what you want, if you want to live how you want to live, you got to change the pattern if you want to change your life. You do that by renewing your mind. Hallelujah. Anybody out there this morning? Hallelujah. And this is what Paul says. This is what, do not conform to the pattern of this world. You got to ask yourself, what have I conformed to? What have I allowed to come into my life? What excuses have I made in order for me to stay in this comfortable little pattern? Because I don't want to change. But deep down, you really do. Deep down, you're not happy. Deep down, you're not satisfied with where you're at. And that dissatisfaction should drive you towards taking this by the horn and taking this thing and running with this and say, I am going to change the pattern of my life. If you're not a morning person, change the pattern of your nighttime activity. Hallelujah. If you're lazy, then change the pattern. Amen. Get up. Go do something. Stop playing video games. Come on. Stop watching TV so much. You know how much time we waste watching TV? Oh my gosh. In our culture, you could have a doctorate degree by now from the hours that you spent watching TV. You could be changing your life. Lord Jesus, help us. We can't make any excuses. We all have the same amount of time. Amen? I'm preaching good this morning. Hallelujah. I'm glad the brother in the back is happy because I'm happy you're happy. We need some fire in here. Hallelujah. Nothing is impossible with God to those who believe. The new creature lives inside of you, a new creation. His name is Jesus. He'll help you to change the pattern. He will enlighten your eyes to what you haven't seen before. He will open up the eyes of your imagination so that you're able to see. That's why the Ephesians prayer is so important. Father, I ask that you open up the eyes of my imagination that I'm able to see the hope of your glory, the riches of your glory and the inheritance of the saints. Hallelujah. Help me to see. Ask God this question. Why can't I get free from this thing? Why do I continually be bound? Why do I fail in this over and over again, even though I'm trying? Help me to see and break the pattern. Spiritually, you can't do it without his power, and you can't do it without being planted in a house. You got to be planted in the house of God. Why? Because renewing your mind is like going to school. This is school this morning. You can't ever be a successful Christian by going to church once a month. It doesn't happen. You got to be committed. If you're committed to change, you're committed to the house. Why? Because you believe that the word, you come in here and you're like, man, when you guys respond like that, I'm excited. When you draw stuff out of me, I'm excited to preach. I love coming to church when you're excited. Amen. When the word is working, I can see it in your brains. You're all thinking like, okay, am I going to? The question is, what are you going to do from here to those double doors and when you get outside? Are you going to take the message and are you going to apply it to your life? Because it's the doer that's blessed, not just the hearer. It's the one who doesn't just want his ears tickled. They want to see their life changed. They want to see Jesus do something. Amen? They want to see their relationships changed. They don't want to make the same mistake at the next marriage. Amen? Or in the next relationship. What was the pattern and why did that fail? Because the next time I get married, hallelujah, it will not fail. Because I want to, God, show me the patterns. Show me my lust. Show me the lust of my life. Show me the lust of my eyes. Show me my pride. Pride will kill you. A know-it-all attitude, you might as well just give it up and go to heaven or hell, wherever you're going. Because pride will stop you from growing. It'll stop you from going. It'll stop you from expanding. All right, Benjamin, come on and play the keyboard quickly because I'm getting myself in trouble here. I want to see you change as your pastor. Amen. I don't want to see you stuck in the same old same. I don't want to be stuck. You know, you guys, I'm up here for 13 years. You've seen my ups and downs of my weight. I hate it. I hate it. You know, you lose a bunch of weight. You get comfortable. Your clothes start to fit. And then you just kind of throw the pattern out that you went through, the process you went through to lose the weight, because now you think you're the man, you know? No, I'm 53 years old. My metabolism has changed. I can't eat like him. I can't eat the pizza, and I can't go to Chipotle every day. Not every day. I can't do it. And if I just continue in that wrong pattern, it's going to get out of control. And so I'm on the plan again. I like it when I stand up here and my clothes fit. It gives me confidence. When I get up on Sunday morning and nothing fits, I don't want to go to church. It's true. Try to wear something baggy so you didn't see my bad eating this past week. I can gain 5 pounds in a week. It's easy. Especially when you've fluctuated since college 55 pounds up and down. Because, you know, the fat cells don't go away. They just shrink when you lose weight. So you can gain weight easy. But I don't know. I don't know about you. My motivation is this. I don't want to die young. I don't want to die with type 2 diabetes. Amen. I want to keep being active. I want to be active enough so that when this young man gets married and has grandkids, that I can be the grandfather that they need. Play with them, run with them, ski with them, hike with them, have fun with them, and then send them back home after I'm done. Hallelujah. And let them take care of them and put them to bed. Because I know one thing, I ain't losing another night's sleep. Hallelujah. One more to go. Hallelujah. Come on, everybody, stand up. Patterns. Do you know that your strength and the patterns that you've changed and the things that you've gotten free from are the biggest witness and testimony that you have in your community? The patterns that you've implemented in your family, in your household, are the biggest testimony that you have in your community, because people are watching you. Your neighbors actually are watching you get up on Sunday morning, because most of them did not get up. And they saw you drive out the door. And they're like, wow, those guys go to church every Sunday. And then they'll start looking at your kids and see you hugging your wife. And wow, those guys are really in love. What's up with that? Their kids, they meet you in the grocery store, and their kids are just having a tantrum pulling apart the end cap because they want the gummy bears. And your kids are just sitting there perfectly being obedient. Well, not always. But you know what I mean? They see how you respond to them. They see how you handle them. You know, you didn't tell them to F off. You know what I'm talking about? You didn't tell them, you stupid kid, you'll never amount to anything. Now stop that. They didn't hear you do that. They saw your patience. You know, they saw your frustration, but they saw your self-control. Are you out there? The successful patterns in your life can change the world. Your pattern of kindness, your pattern of grace, your pattern of forgiveness, change your family, change your neighborhood, change the world. Hallelujah. Father, we praise you. Let's pray. Grab the hand of somebody next to you as we end this morning. God, we thank you. Thank you for the wisdom of Paul, that it wasn't just about the spiritual gifts, which we love, and just wasn't about laying hands on the sick and seeing miracles happen. Lord, it was about the renewing of our mind and the enlightenment of the negative patterns in our life that have held us back from following God's will. So God, forgive us. Forgive us this morning, and we pray that you open up our eyes, Lord, that we're able to see the patterns that have negatively affected us. The patterns that we've settled for, made excuses about. Help us to see and help us to get on that road and that path to change. It may take a week, it may take a couple months, it may take a year. Phil runs the men's conquering class, and to be free from pornography, they say that guys, it takes 2 to 2.5 years of constant input in their life because of the pattern that they not only created as a sinful habit, but the pattern that they created physiologically and biologically in their brain. That's what we learned in the class. It's amazing. 2.5 years. Sometimes it's going to take some time, but faith isn't just starting. Faith is sticking it out. I'm going to stick this thing out, and I'm going to change. I'm determined to change. I'm determined to see my life get better. Amen? Hallelujah. Father, we praise you. We thank you. Every head bowed, every eye closed. If you've never received Christ in your life, I want to pray a prayer of salvation this morning.